Not every business can afford an IT genius to save them from viruses or malware. That's why Business Premier from Vodafone includes SecureNet. It helps protect your mobile while you use the internet, apps, email, or download files. There's nothing to install. It's built into our network, which means your work is secure and at your fingertips. Search Business Premier to find out more. Vodafone. The future is exciting. Ready? Device must be connected to the Vodafone mobile network. For full details, visit vodafone.co.uk/terms/securenet.
Wednesday, March 14th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. That is Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports. We try to bring a common sense approach to the world of sports, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Wednesday to you. We have made it to Wednesday, that pivotal day of the week, hoping to plow through this day and get a little bit closer to our weekend. Are you feeling a sudden cold coming on? Because things are about to get crazy in sports. Are you starting to feel that March Madness fever starting to rise a little bit in you? You know, today is the day, Wednesday. Today is the day to get that cough started around the office, folks. If you start pulling that cough, rubbing your eyes a lot, maybe massaging the temples a little bit today, calling in sick for tomorrow and Friday, it's going to be way more believable, is what I'm saying. But you have to start laying that foundation today, maybe even a little bit yesterday. You know, a few visits to the bathroom. One step that always works, ask your manager if they have any Tylenol. Hey, do you have any Tylenol? I don't know if I'm coming down with something or what it is, but I feel like there's just something coming on. Just a lot of pressure, kind of sinusy thing. I don't know what it is. Just kind of feel like something's not quite right. Just checking to see if you had any Tylenol for me. These are all good steps to take today so that you are ready to stay home and watch March Madness in all of its splendor over the next 2 days. Speaking of March Madness, like I said yesterday, we do have our Daily Dose Bracket Challenge where you can win big prizes and possibly a guest spot on the show. Head over to ESPN, click on Bracket Challenge, and under groups, search for the Daily Dose. You will find us there. Join our group and prove that you know college hoops better than anyone else. Or you can even go over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and you can find a link to the group over there as well. Now, if you would like to contact the show, if you would like to call your shot for winning our Bracket Challenge, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, we have a very special guest stopping by to discuss all things sports, but specifically March Madness. That is why we want him to come by. Because longtime high school basketball coach Russ McKinstry is going to come by and spend some time with us today. You know, I've got a number of questions for him about March Madness. Like I've told you before, this is a guy that coached high school basketball for over 30 years, won state titles, coached numerous players on to play collegiately and even professionally. This is a guy who understands basketball. He understands tournaments like this. This is a guy that we want to pick his brain a little bit about what we are going to be seeing in March Madness. Now, before we get to all that, couple things are coming out. There was a lot of action happening yesterday in the NFL. The NFL free agent market kicking off at 2 p.m. and we were already seeing all kinds of moves taking place. Or at least we were getting a pretty good idea of once things can become official, here's what's going to become official. Of course, Kirk Cousins looks like he is signing a 3-year, $84 million deal with the Minnesota Vikings. Is he the missing piece for that roster? We're about to find out. Because, hey, Kirk Cousins, it's not like let's hope we can get to the playoffs. That'd be nice. No, it is Super Bowl victory or bust for Kirk Cousins. That wasn't the only move. In fact, that was far from it. The New Orleans Saints have agreed to a deal with quarterback Drew Brees. They will keep him down there in the Big Easy. which is ironic because that's also the same nickname that people use for the Saints defense every single year. Coincidence? I don't think so. I mean, maybe, but I don't think so. The Green Bay Packers are signing tight end Jimmy Graham, and they also are releasing wide receiver Jordy Nelson. Now see, for the Green Bay Packers to sign Jimmy Graham, that makes sense to me. Aaron Rodgers can actually throw him the ball. That seems like a good fit. Going to Seattle didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. People were talking about him coming to Denver. That doesn't make sense to me. Neither of those teams can throw the ball. Going up there with Aaron Rodgers, giving Aaron Rodgers some help, that makes sense to me. The Miami Dolphins, it looks like, are going to be signing former Patriot wide receiver Danny Amendola, which makes me wonder now if possibly the Patriots would go sign Jordy Nelson to meet their quota of overachieving wide receivers. We'll keep an eye on that for you. Let's see, what else do we have here? The Kansas City Chiefs have decided to just save some time and sign wide receiver Sammy Watkins directly to the injured reserve list because we know that's where he's going to end up. That should help kind of temper expectations and just put him right there directly. The Chicago Bears are making some moves. The Bears are going to give wide receiver Allen Robinson a 3-year, $42 million deal. They also are going to get tight end Trey Burton on a 4-year deal, and they are grabbing wide receiver Taylor Gabriel as well. Bears are making some serious moves to try to give Mitch Trubisky some help. I mean, nothing like the help that they already gave him when they fired John Fox, but I mean, still, pretty good moves there for Chicago. And of course, it looks like the Denver Broncos are going to sign quarterback Case Keenum. We'll see what that means. I mean, I guess I'm just glad to see them not throwing a ton of money at Kirk Cousins. They have too many holes in their roster to be throwing money like that. They don't have money to waste. They don't have extra money just to spend. Got a feeling, though, I might have to ask Coach Mack about this. Want to see what his thoughts are on this whole situation with the Broncos and Case Keenum. Okay, got a lot to get to. Coming back, we will be joined by Russ McKinstry to discuss a number of different subjects, but I do really want to get his thoughts on March Madness. It's going to be a wide-open tournament this year, and I want to see who he thinks might end up winning this thing. We've got a lot to get to right after this.
Can you hear me, Lewis? Fourth on the grid. You've got this.
Put yourself in the driving seat with the dedicated Sky Sports F1 channel for £18 a month. Watch every practice, qualifying and race live. Now with free HD. So if you love F1, only pay for F1 for £18 a month. Search Sky Sports F1.
Requires Sky TV subscription. Free HD for 18 months with Sky Sports. Thereafter, HD £6 per month. Offer ends 28th of June. Further terms apply.
As promised, joining us right now is a guy that knows something about coaching in single elimination tournaments. Russ McKinstry has coached high school basketball in the states of Colorado, Arizona, and Kansas for over 30 years. He won over 400 games. He won back-to-back state titles. He also knows me because he hired me to be an assistant coach on his staff, which might destroy all of that credibility that I just built up for him. But Coach, thank you very much for joining us here on the Daily Dose. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure, and happy March Madness. Does it get any better than this time of year, Coach?
Oh, it doesn't. You know, I love the fall. I love when we get college football back and we got the NFL starting up and those things. I love bowl season. Like, the NFL is getting tight, and we're starting to see playoff races shape up. We got the bowl games coming and all that. But is there a better time of year than right now with March Madness?
No, and then you throw in the start of baseball, and the NBA is finally in the crunch time, and hockey's getting close to playoff time. And no, and plus the weather's getting warmer, hopefully. And no, it's a great, great time to be alive, and even better to be alive with people that enjoy sports and the culmination of all these different sports coming together at one time. It's a great, great time.
It is. It's so much fun. I got a question for you. Which do you like better? Do you like the 64 round and the 32 round? Those first 2 days, that Thursday, Friday, those are such fun days. On into the weekend, you've just got a million games in there. But then moving forward, when we get down to 16 and 8, you eliminate some of those lower teams that maybe aren't quite up to par. Which is the better rounds for you?
Oh, great question. You know, I am such a basketball junkie. It'd be hard for me to say one way or the other because I love it all. I wish, you know, I wish I didn't have to work and I could just stay home and watch every minute of the action and channel flip, you know, between the three or four different stations that carry the games. So I guess I'd probably have to go with the, you know, later rounds where we get down to 16 majors because it's easier to watch all the games and you're not missing some of the action because of, you know, the multitude of games that are going on the different channels. But I like it all and, you know, I like it even better when I get the opportunity to actually go to the arenas and watch the games in person. But nothing local this year, so I guess we'll have to just watch it on TV and be happy with that.
It is fun when you get to go to the arena. We got to do that a few years back when they were being hosted here in Denver. And I'll never forget, you told me, and you always told me this when we were scouting or anything else, go down to the floor at least once. If you're going to the big arena, go down to the floor at least once and see the size of these players, see what it's really all about down at their level.
Yeah, I don't think the typical person would understand how big these kids are anymore. And, you know, you go to the NBA games and you go down to the floor and it's just a different race of human beings, actually. I mean, they're just so big and strong and athletic anymore. But, you know, even the high school kids into the college level, the kids just keep getting bigger and bigger and training techniques are getting better and better. And kids are taking care of their bodies better all the time. And, so it really is impressive to go down the floor and what you think is a tiny run of a guard turns out to be a 6'3", 6'4", specimen that is just surrounded by a bunch of 6'10", 6'11", 7-footers. So, yeah, it's really I really enjoy that part of the game and going to the games in person.
Yeah, I do too. You know, we have you on to talk hoops, but you're a guy that knows sports just in general. You've been around it your whole life. You've coached it. You've been working with sports. You've been working with athletes your whole life. NFL free agency begins officially today. We saw a flurry of moves, even starting yesterday. At least it sounds like contracts are being put in place. I know they're supposed to not go in until 2 o'clock this afternoon, but we also know that everybody's getting these deals done. Couple moves that I wanted to ask you about. First off, our Denver Broncos, sounds like they're going to go get Case Keenum. Sounds like that's a done deal. Do you like that Case Keenum move?
Honestly, ho-hum, I guess, would be my first thought. And I'm a little bit concerned. I think you and I have talked before about this. You know, really, what is the direction that this franchise is going and what is their ultimate game plan? They're really lacking in playmakers right now. And, you know, I think I'll reserve judgment until the draft is over and free agency is over to see kind of how they leverage getting someone like Case Keenum. But I ever since, you know, and I like Gary Kubiak. I think he's a good person. I think he's an average coach. But there seems to be this trend of, you know, there's kind of three different types of quarterbacks that you can go out and snag, and you can get your traditional big, boned, athletic pocket passer like a Roethlisberger or a Carson Wentz or Goff or Matt Ryan or, you know, in a draft this year, you could get Josh Allen or Josh Rosen. You have that type of quarterback. And then you have the, you know, the more mobile run pass option quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson and Marcus Mariota, and, you know, Lamar Jackson coming out of Louisville and, you know, Baker Mayfield maybe from Oklahoma, that type of quarterback. And then you have your typical game manager, you know, who just is kind of a 6'2", 215 pound average quarterback that you hope doesn't get you beat, but you know he's not going to win games for you. And for me, it just seems like Gary Kubiak, who is that type of quarterback, really tends to go out and get quarterbacks that are similar to him. You know, you saw that with Brian Greasy, Kyle Orton, Jake Plummer. It was kind of that way a little bit. You know, obviously Trevor Siemian is. You know, Brock Osweiler's kind of that way. So, you know, I'm just really concerned that that influence, that style of quarterbacking has really become the trademark now of the Denver Broncos instead of, you know, someone like an Elway and Peyton Manning who, you know, transcend that and really are, you know, two of the best ever play. So I just don't know what to think anymore because I'm not sure what they want anymore.
Yeah, and it's hard to get a read on this team because they're showing us that they're going to go get a quarterback, like you said, a game manager, yet they're not really surrounding him with all that many playmakers. So what is it that you're looking for? I'm having a hard time figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, And again, hopefully they're going to address the tight end issue, the running back issue. You know, obviously we need offensive linemen. Wide receivers are getting older, so we need a third, you know, slot receiver to come in and produce some big time numbers for us. And, you know, that's a lot to ask out of 1 year and a draft that you're not quite sure how those kids are going to, you know, end up playing that first year or two. You just never know. That's a crapshoot. So, yeah, I'm trying to get excited about it, but honestly, I'm kind of depressed about it. I'm kind of grumpy about it because I wanted to be excited about something. I think I would have been more excited if they would have just went with a young stud at number 5 and really went out and got the other pieces of free agency, like the tight end and the other receiver and a great running back or a couple running backs. I was kind of hoping they'd go that way, and I'd be excited about seeing the new young guy that might, you know, actually be with us for 10 or 12 years. And now I don't know what the game plan is. Are they going to draft another quarterback, or are they just going to go with Case Keenum and then get another quarterback in 2 or 3 years? I just don't know.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you, because that's exactly what I'm wondering. I'm sitting there saying, okay, so you have Case Keenum. He's not the long-term answer, I wouldn't think. He's been in the league a while, and I understand he's Gary Kubiak's guy. Gary had him down at Houston. But now do you still go get a quarterback with that 5th pick?
You know, I'll be honest. I'm going to be really disappointed if they don't, just because I hope they're doing the Kansas City Chiefs plan, you know, or the Chicago Bear plan maybe, you know, might be a better analogy to what I hope we're doing, is that, you know, they went out and got the Glennon kid and then Trubisky, and, you know, he was there for a year, and now they're moving with the new quarterback. I kind of hope we're doing that, where Keenum's going to be around for a year, and then maybe he'll back up the you know, number 5 pick for a year, and then he's out, and we just move on with life with a young quarterback that we're going to see, you know, really develop into our franchise leader. But I really want some spirit, some cockiness, some swagger from that position, because we don't have anybody on the offensive side of the ball that has any of that. And Case Keenum isn't that type of player. So, you know, I just very ho-hum, you know, are we going to try and keep games close and then have our defense win games again? I think that's a really hard model to do, unless you're really, really loaded at the defensive end. And I think we've lost enough players on the defensive side that I don't see us being that type of team either. So, again, a lot of question marks. I'm not sure where we're at.
Yeah, I'm not either. It's a little bit concerning. If you had that 5th pick, let's say all those quarterbacks in this draft are there, which one of those would you take?
You know, I think probably raw talent-wise, upside potential, but a little bit of a gamble probably is Josh Allen. But there's something unique about Baker Mayfield. And again, maybe it's that cockiness, swagger. He just feels like he can will himself and his teammates to win ball games, which I think we desperately need. You know, even Lamar Jackson kind of intrigues me a little bit. I'm not a huge Josh Rosen fan. I think he's all like Jay Cutler.
Yep.
Sam Darnold, I think, is still young and needs to develop some more. I don't know. I keep coming back to Baker Mayfield, and I think people are a little bit, you know, questionable about him and his attitude. But I don't know. There's something about the kid that just intrigues me.
See, it does me too. I wish he would last, like, into the 2nd round. Like, I wish you could grab him because I think in a deeper class, I think that's a possibility. I don't know this year when there's just not very many good quarterbacks. There's not very many good quarterbacks, period, in the whole league.
No, there aren't. No.
We have a huge breakdown in that whole thing with developing quarterbacks right now.
Yeah, you know, and I think what's happening, and you see it really, you know, affecting the NFL is, you know, the way college coaches run their systems now, and it's not really, you know, designed to develop quarterbacks for the professional style of football. So I think the NFL is kind of that tipping point where they're going to have to kind of change the model of their offensive schemes and maybe look at more of an offensive type offensive scheme to, you know, utilize the talents. And I guess that's what concerns me about the Broncos, is that they're still archaic in the way they think about their coaching, and that they want to get players to fit their system instead of fitting the system to the strengths of the players. And I just don't think you can do that anymore. And very rarely can you do that at any level. But I think that part of the NFL has dramatically shifted to now, even at the NFL level, you can't draft for your system. You draft players, and then you put a system in around their strengths.
Well,
and I just don't think the Broncos grasp that.
That's a great point you bring up, because we saw Peyton Manning come here, and he had to adapt to the Broncos system, not vice versa. Yeah. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. You have one of the best ever. Hey, I don't care what Peyton says to run. You just run it. And they wouldn't do it. They made him fit into that square hole there that they were trying to jam him in. It didn't make any sense.
You know, and I'm still angry and bitter, and I probably will be till my dying day about that. That to me was the greatest insult to, you know, one of the top three quarterbacks to ever play, to try and make him fit underneath, you know, the center, taking the ball from the center, snap, and this running the, you know, bootleg stuff, the Kubiak loves that they did back when Elway was, you know, at the end of his career, and it worked for him, obviously. But, yeah, I thought that was one of the biggest atrocities I've ever seen in athletics, trying to do that to, you know, someone that has the intelligence and the gifts that they had. And that's why I guess I'm really concerned. I just don't know where this franchise is at and kind of what their mindset is at this point. And if that's their mindset, then I'm really, really concerned.
Yeah, it's not good right now. You know the difference between Trevor Siemian and Case Keenum, don't you?
What's that?
No, I don't know. I'm asking.
I think it's
a mustache and about $20 million is what I think it is, because I have no idea. Seems like about the
right.
Same guy.
I think you're right. I think, you know, as Bronco fans, we're always optimistic and looking through the orange and blue colored glasses. But that's kind of wearing off for me now. Finally, I think I'm finally to the point where I've just been so frustrated the last 2 years with what's gone on, and even at the Super Bowl year, that year, things really fell our way, but you could see some things that were kind of disturbing, and you're starting to think, wow, what's the future hold for us? And now we know what has kind of held, and, you know, where are we going to go from here? So,
all right, we're shifting out of this NFL talk because it's just going to depress us, and there's exciting things to talk about, and our Denver Broncos are not one of them, so we're not going to talk about them. Okay, I'm going to give you a challenge here. Are you ready for this challenge?
All right.
It's going to be a tough one, I'm telling you. Is there a college job out there that you look at and you say, that could be like a sneaky national power if they just got the right person, the right system, the right group of people running it? I always look at like Gonzaga, and you're sitting there going, they're up in the middle of nowhere, Washington. How in the world, but they got the right people? And there are some schools out there I've always thought of, somewhere like Pepperdine or like South Florida, at Tampa, you got the beach right there, Long Beach State, something like that, where you're like, if you just got the right people and you pulled a couple of great kids, why couldn't that be a power every single year? Is there a school out there that you think of that you go, that would be a great spot to build a national power in hoops?
Oh, man, that is a challenging question. I like that one. You know, I think you mentioned one of them. We used to take our kids, as you know, we used to take our kids out to California to team camps, you know, the high school team camps in California.
Yep.
Went to Santa Barbara, and the amount of talent in California is staggering at the high school level. So, you know, you look at some place like Long Beach or Pepperdine, where not only are you right there along the coast in a beautiful environment, but you have access to some really talented kids. I think if you did get the right person with the ability to recruit, you know, over-recruit some of the bigger schools like UCLA and USC or Arizona along the West Coast or Western United States, I think those could really turn out to be special, just like Gonzaga, you know.
Yeah.
Gonzaga really uses their California connections, and they get the best kids out of Washington and the best kids out of California. And then, you know, they add a couple foreigners usually, you know, big foreign kids, and they got a pretty good recipe for success. So, yeah, I mean, I think anything in Florida – or California, and probably Texas, you know, a minor school in Texas, maybe is underachieving right now. The type of athletes that you can get in those states, if you could just convince them to, you know, bypass maybe a larger school to go to a smaller environment and do something special, you might have a chance to do something really fun.
You look at, say, like Pepperdine, you look at Long Beach State, and you go, man, you can recruit LA. You can go up and down that whole coast of kids. You've got the beach, yeah. You've got a beautiful campus. Like you said, we used to go out there for camps and stuff, and you're looking at the campus going, My goodness, who doesn't want to? Like, I want to come here. I want to enroll here. It's just gorgeous.
Right. Yeah, no, there's no doubt. It's, you know, it has the best of everything. You know, it's a great climate, beautiful scenery. You got, you know, beautiful girls. You got everything teenage boys want, you know. You're in a metropolitan area along the coast of California. So, yeah, you know, it's amazing that more of those schools like Loyola Marymount, Long Beach State. And I remember a time back in the 70s and 80s when Long Beach State was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and they were playing at a national level. But that's been, you know, that hasn't been the case for about 20, 25 years. And Pepperdine occasionally would come, you know, in with a good ball club. But nothing ever consistent much anymore. So, yeah, it makes you wonder why they can't get it going.
It does. And there's got to be some things at play there. But kind of fun to, yep, to look around the country and see if there's any out there. Hey, coming back, we're going to continue our conversation with Coach Mack. As a former coach, how did he look at preparing for these single elimination tournaments? And how does he view the officiating that sometimes we see in these games? We're going to get to all of that when we come back.
Can you hear me, Lewis? You're fourth on the grid. You've got this.
Put yourself in the driving seat with the dedicated Sky Sports F1 channel for £18 a month. Watch every practice, qualifying and race live. Now with free HD. So if you love F1, only pay for F1 for £18 a month. Search Sky Sports F1.
Requires Sky TV subscription. Free HD for 18 months with Sky Sports. Thereafter, HD £6 per month. Offer ends 28th of June. Further terms apply.
Hey, just a quick reminder. If you've got any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. March's Loot Crate theme is called Playback, and it features items from Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dungeons & Dragons, and The Simpsons. And if none of those franchises interest you, I promise you, head over to Loot Crate. You are going to find a number of things over there. They've got things for your house, for your car, for your office, you name it. Loot Crate has it. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type in Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. And hey, it just might help you save a few bucks off of your order. That's always a good thing. Make sure you stop by lootcrate.com. Okay, I got to ask you this. This past week, we saw the Colorado State High School Tournament finish up. And in one of the final four games, we saw a block charge foul. It was called with 1/10 of a second remaining. The offensive team actually scored the tying basket, but the basket was negated and waved off. Game over. After the game, we heard coaches, we heard media members saying that call should not have been called at that stage of the game. We hear it all the time. Let the players decide the game. I always feel like we lean in the direction of whichever side we're cheering for. If it's for our team, we say ref like you don't know the time. If it's against us, we say players should decide the game. Where do you fall on this subject as a former coach? Because we know going into this NCAA tournament, we're going to see tight games. We're going to see probably last second calls. Should the game be officiated differently in those situations?
That's a great question, and it's happened to all the coaches, and it's, you know, what you do hope is that if the call is made, it's the correct call. And if you had to ask me, and I had a pretty good side of line of what happened on that play, I was down close to the floor and close to that play, and I saw it pretty close, up close, and I thought it was a bad call, and that's against my beloved Lewis Palmer Rangers, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, a block, and the basket should have counted, and the kid probably should have had the opportunity to win the game with a free throw and won. I think, really, if you ask me as a head coach, I'd say, hey, last 8 seconds, something like that, let the kids decide it. Don't blow the whistle. Unless it's really blatant, obvious. If it's questionable, don't call it. And I think in that situation, I probably would have let it go. You know, just let the kids score. Don't blow the whistle. The ball goes in. Game tied. We go to overtime, you know.
Yeah.
So I would have just not blown the whistle at all. And then it, you know, then you don't have to worry about should I or should I not have called it? Just, you know, let the kid decide. And if the ball goes in, great, get overtime. And if it doesn't, Lewis Palmer gets it. And you can, you know, you can hear the Pueblo West coaches complain about a non-call. But I think that's where most coaches would want it.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. And I just wondered what your perspective was on that. You were actually there at the game, though.
Yeah, I was there. And again, it was close. But if I was officiating, and thank God I wasn't, I would have not called anything and just let the kids play it out. But I did think it wasn't the right call. I think it should have been a block. And the kids should have got the chance to shoot the free throw. And, you know, hopefully the pressure would have got to me, would have missed it. And we go into overtime and get four more minutes so the kids decide what happens.
Hey, you know what? I don't want to stop having this conversation with Coach Mack. We are going to go ahead and continue this tomorrow. And I'm going to be very transparent with you. If we keep talking, this might even go into Friday. I don't care, though. I want to hear what he has to say about this upcoming tournament. Hey, he has prepared for these kind of games. He knows these coaches. He knows this game. He understands exactly what these guys are getting ready for. I want to continue this conversation a little bit tomorrow. Plus, we are going to have some breaking news. We'll see what's going on in the NFL. We know that free agency is heating up and things are getting crazy over there. But we are going to just continue our conversation with Coach Mack. And I won't lie to you, we're going to go as long as we need to. I don't care how long we go. So this may just continue the rest of the week. Hey, I have to say thank you so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you to Coach Mack for stopping by. We always enjoy your visits and we're looking forward to doing it again tomorrow. Thank you all for the emails. Thank you for the texts and the tweets. Don't forget to head over to ESPN and sign up for our bracket challenge over there. We would love to have you be a part of that. If you would like to contact us, make sure you hit us at email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to interact with you there. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow, and we will continue our conversation with Russ McKinstry. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
Yourself in the driving seat with the dedicated Sky Sports F1 channel for £18 a month. Watch every practice, qualifying and race live. Now with free HD. So if you love F1, only pay for F1 for £18 a month. Search Sky Sports F1.
Requires Sky TV subscription. Free HD for 18 months with Sky Sports. Thereafter, HD £6 per month. Offer ends 28th of June. Further terms apply.